You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. Do contact us on thehiv@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HIV_hour. Or listen and subscribe to our HIV Hour podcasts, iTunes, Deezer and Spotify. Just type in HIV Hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again 4 p.m. on the Monday and Tuesday at noon, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Hello, good evening. Morning.
Yeah, all. Yes, good afternoon.
Hello, everybody.
Or what? Do you know, we say good evening, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Because we don't know who's listening in, because like we've said on many occasions, we've got some really great followers from all over the world. So
yes,
I don't just want to say good morning anymore. Could be anywhere, couldn't it, Steve?
It could be any time of the day, depending on where you are in the world.
Yeah, yes. Which is brilliant.
Yep.
Yes. So, yes, hello. How are you both?
Yes, not so bad. Not so bad. Yes, we got Tony and Tanya on other chores this week, so it's just the three stooges.
The three musketeers.
Yeah.
That's better, isn't it?
I prefer that one.
Yeah, where did I get stooges from? But anyway.
I said that last.
Did you?
Time.
Oh, I was copying you. Okay. Yeah.
How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Not bad. Busy as always. Just lots of things going on. So,
Yeah, congratulations. Congratulations, because you were in the, what's the magazine?
Plus Life magazine.
Yeah.
The American, it's an American magazine. So, yeah, I was named one of the 25 most amazing people of the year.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a great compliment, you know, especially being alongside people, you know, like Nathaniel Hall and Billy Porter, you know.
Ooh.
So thank you. Yeah, it was a great honor. Great honor.
Well done. Well done, Stephen.
So what's on the show?
We've got a couple of good interviews, haven't we? Yes. Stephen, you've done one, haven't you, Stephen?
I sure have. I did an interview last week and just talking about U Equals U and what they are doing down in Newcastle.
So my hometown.
Yeah, that was great. You know, I love the accent. So that was a really enjoyable interview to do. So lots of interesting news from there.
Mm-hmm. Who was it with? Sorry, Stephen.
It's with Jill and Mark. So
okay.
That was great. And what about you, Josh? You did an interview as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a local interview with a guy called Gary Pargeter. He's been on the show a few times, actually. He runs a charity called Lunch Positive, and there's lots of services he's done. So we just had a chat with him about what's going on there and World AIDS Day and stuff like that. I apologise for the, I said this last time, the sound quality is a little bit, there's an alarm going off. And beep, 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 beep. So I apologise for that. So it's a great interview.
The joys of doing things over the phone and remotely, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the way it is at the moment with these things. So I think as long as you acknowledge them, I think that's the way forward, isn't it? So,
and the thing is, guys, we've got very understanding listeners, haven't we?
Yes.
So that makes it all the better.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So should we get on with the show?
Yes.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the HIV Hour. So I have two guests today. Today I am being joined by Jill Hardy and Mark Ellaby Headley. And they are joining us from a group called Eyes Open. And I'm just going to let you guys introduce yourselves and tell us what you are doing at the moment.
Hi, my name's Mark. I work for Newcastle upon Tyne Hospitals, and I'm part of the sexual health service in Newcastle. I'm a HIV positive guy, been diagnosed for 22 years, been living with my partner for 21 years. And one of the reasons why this campaign that we're on today to talk about is really important is because of my experience of stigma and discrimination, and the fact that it's a really positive message, this U equals U campaign message. And I've been working with Eyes Open for 18 years since it started up in 2003.
And what about you, Jill?
Great. Hi, everybody. My name's Jill Hardy, and I work as part of the public health team in Newcastle, and I oversee two services. One is MESMAC, which is a service for men who have sex with men, and one is SHINE, and that's a service for all women over the age of 16 around all things to do with sexual health. And I have had the pleasure of working alongside the Eyes Open steering group on and off since 2008. And it's been an absolute privilege to be back this kind of last year and really working on the U equals U campaign, which is so incredibly important. So it's a real honour to be here as well, Stephen. Thank you
for having us. Thank you. So why, obviously I'm in London and U equals U is something that a lot of people are talking about now. Still not enough people are talking about, but a lot of people are talking about it. So what was it that you felt, was necessary to underline and to point out about U equals U for you guys and where you are in your part of the country?
I think if I just talk a little bit about Eyes Open and where we came from and why we were set up, and then Jill can talk a little bit about the U equals U campaign if that's okay. Yeah. So we set Eyes Open up back in 2003, and the reason for Eyes Open was that initially we were really struggling to get into schools to raise awareness of HIV and to speak to young people and get some positive messages out there, but also to challenge the myths that were out there and challenge the stigma and discrimination that HIV positive people were facing. So the objectives for Eyes Open were to guide and deliver educational initiatives, to develop community events and to raise awareness in the general population, and also to cooperate and work with individuals, voluntary organisations and statutory authorities to raise awareness, increase understanding and reduce onward transmission. And we've been doing some great work over the 18 years, whether it's been art competitions, whether it's been marches through Newcastle City Centre, whether it's been conferences for professionals. The last couple of years prior to COVID, we had two really successful Red World AIDS Day balls, where we were able to raise money for charity and also get the message out to people in a more of a fun environment. With having a ball and kind of a three-course meal and kind of opportunities for people to get up and dance. Though I suppose if people watched me dance, it probably would have been the comedy part of the evening. But this year we wanted to do something that really got that U equals U message out there to as many people as possible. And that's why we decided to do this campaign. So, Jill, would you like to just talk a little bit more about what we have been doing and where we are after the launch?
Well, absolutely. So, we were unsure kind of the way this year's been for everybody, really. It's been really kind of difficult to predict. So we had thought about, are we going to be able to have a kind of event in person, or is it going to be an event sort of solely kind of online? Or, ideally it would have been a kind of blended launch, really. So, people could have come and got together in person, and we could have had that kind of social media element as well. And in the end, decisions were made to just kind of do it this way to reach a really kind of wide audience and a wider platform as possible. So as you'll have seen, the kind of event launched yesterday and will kind of be running up until World AIDS Day.
Right. And
well, that's going to be different videos are going to be released. Do you want to talk a bit about that, Mark? Do we want to kind of talk about that here? Yeah. So we've been working with a brilliant actor, kind of HIV activist, who you may know, Nathaniel J. Hall.
Yeah.
So he's worked. Yeah. And he's been absolutely fantastic and worked alongside us. And he's made videos for us around lots of different things around kind of HIV awareness. So we've launched with the You Equals You message, and there's various other ones that he's done as well, which will be kind of getting released from now up until World AIDS Day. So yeah, if people wanted to kind of keep up with our campaign, they can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram as well. So yeah.
See what you're doing. So
see what we're up to, yes. Absolutely.
So stigma and discrimination, it's something that I'm very aware of as a person living with HIV. And what can we do? It seems to be something, that the treatment for HIV is getting better. There's been so many advances, but the stigma and discrimination is still an issue. And I suppose that's, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I suppose that's
what this is about.
Yeah.
We've been doing these campaigns, as Mark said, since 2003. And what we're really kind of passionate about is normalising conversations around HIV. From the start of November, we run alongside with another campaign, which is called Let's Nail HIV Stigma and People Paint a Fingernail.
Right.
We were doing that in schools and right across kind of the region. So people would say, oh, why have you got one fingernail painted? Oh, well, to kind of facilitate those conversations. A lot of the work that I do as well is HIV testing out in the community, making it as easy as possible for people to access testing, to have those conversations around HIV and taking some of the fear away, normalising those conversations, which we would hope will reduce that stigma and that discrimination.
And can I ask, I don't know whether this might be more up your street, Mark, but as far as sexual health screening, there's still a stigma around that for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of shame. There's still a lot of,
yeah.
Are you in Newcastle? Have I got that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how is it where you are? Is there still that same kind of fear and stigma of going to have a test?
Well, I think less so. Do you want to talk about that, Mark? Do you want to talk about the collaboration around the DIY STI kits that we've been doing as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do. Yeah. Yeah. So I think depending on the age group of who the people are, more people, I think, of an older age might be more embarrassed about getting either a HIV test or a general sexual health screen. I think young people, on the whole, are much more open to that. And I think a lot of that's got to do with the work that we do in schools. So we do a lot of work in schools, either around HIV awareness or general sexual health awareness. I've been working with a local youth service in town called Streetwise, and we've been going in schools and just doing a Q&A session where we ask young people to anonymously write questions down on a card and they post them, and then we just answer those questions. So the young people in the year group, nobody knows really who's asked the question,
yeah.
But it means we're able to answer them without people feeling embarrassed. And I think with the introduction kind of quite a few years ago now around the chlamydia screening programme, lots of young people, it's like second nature now just to get a chlamydia and gonorrhea test, pick one up and do it as a pee in the pot or a self-taken swab and then post it back to us. So I think that side of things, it's much easier now for young people. And from my experience of going into schools and certainly doing work around HIV awareness, where I disclose my HIV status to give young people an opportunity to ask me questions about my experiences of being HIV positive. I've never, ever since 2003, when I first disclosed my status in a faith school in Newcastle, which was quite a scary experience because the head teacher wouldn't let me talk about the fact that I'm a gay man, but he was happy for me to talk about my HIV status. The kids have been absolutely amazing. I've never had one offensive or difficult question that's been asked. And actually, as we've moved on through the years from 2003 to where we are now, I've had to update the session and what we deliver within the session, because some of the things that I might have mentioned 15 years ago, young people just roll their eyes at now because it's the kind of thing. Well,
irrelevant.
Know that, you know, we know that. What are you trying to tell us that for?
Yeah.
So it's really good that their knowledge has increased. And as Jill mentioned, what we've tried to do, certainly through lockdown and the last 18 months with COVID, but we were offering it prior to that to smaller groups of people, is the DIY STI testing kits that the Newcroft Sexual Health Service, where I'm based, are offering. And what we do is we've offered that within community settings. So Mesmac and Shine, that Jill manages, they've been one of our community settings that offer the DIY testing kits to the people that they are supporting, as we have some youth services and some other services across the city. So kind of homeless, voluntary sector organisations and drug and alcohol services. But we've widened that out now so that anybody that I suppose we could class them as the worried well, where they haven't got any symptoms, but they want to just get checked up for general STIs, they can pick up a kit either from ourselves at Newcroft, from one of the community settings like Mesmac and Shine, or from one of 16 pharmacies across the city that have come on board to be collection points. They can pick up one of those testing kits. They can do all of the tests at home. So that's around chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV and hepatitis, both hepatitis B and hepatitis C. And they can just post those back to us in the post box, so they don't even need to come into a sexual health service, which means...
It's fantastic. And what I'm finding is I do a lot of work with kind of minoritized communities, so maybe women from BAME communities as well, you know, where there's barriers in place to accessing services, yeah. You know, and that's worked brilliant there. You know, and just before lockdown, Stephen, you know, that I was going out into the community and being able to test people where they were comfortable and give them an HIV test. It's amazing. So it is about building relationships and building confidence and having conversations. You know, as Mark was saying, it's a slow process, but I think we've made huge inroads. You know, we're quite lucky in Newcastle in that we're a small city and there's lots of kind of well-established providers and we all work really closely together as well.
I did a survey about the DIY testing kits at the end of last year, which ran for quite a few months. So every kit that we handed out had a survey in the kit that we asked people to feedback, and the majority of them said that they would prefer to have a DIY testing kit rather than come into a sexual health service. And I think it's that embarrassment factor of having to come through those doors where people, you don't know who you're going to see inside. Prior to COVID, we had a waiting room full of people, and it might be your next door neighbour or somebody that you knew, and
then your dad, anybody.
So this is much more; it's much more private and an easier way for people to get tested.
Yeah. And I think as well, you know, you put yourself in a really potentially vulnerable situation. Although it's really supportive, people can feel very vulnerable, you know, especially if they maybe experience trauma or any of those kinds of things as well. And being able to sort of do their own tests in their own comfort, in their own time, it's incredible, really, you know. And part of You Equals You is about letting people know how things have changed.
Yes, exactly.
You know, things have moved on so significantly, and people need to be aware of that. So this is a universal campaign. It's a campaign for everybody, for professionals, for, you know, to people in the community, for everybody. Everybody really needs to know this message, and then they can pass that message on to people around them, to their communities, people they're working with, you know.
And I think it's the first positive message that we as HIV positive people have had, because it's always been, I mean, even now we speak to people of an older generation and all they remember are the tombstone adverts from the late 80s, whereas this is a really positive message to say that if you are HIV positive, if you're on effective treatment, and because of that you have an undetectable viral load, lots of research has been done in the UK over a period of years, which now prove that you cannot pass HIV onto other people. And that, for people who are HIV positive, is something that they feel really comfortable and confident about. And Jill can mention this as well, but even before we launched the campaign, we did a radio advert on Pride Radio. So myself and another colleague from Eyes Open went on to Pride Radio the week before we launched, just to talk about the Your Equals You campaign. And because of that radio interview, a guy got in touch and said he'd never told anybody about his HIV status. But because of hearing the You Equals You message live on a massive radio station, he then had the confidence to go and talk to other people about his status.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really powerful. We're really looking forward to seeing how this rolls out, you know, the impact for positive people, you know, for their family members, all of that. It's just a really positive campaign. And we're also hoping it might encourage people to think about getting tested as well, because we know how important it is that people kind of test regularly. And if they, you know, if they've had a positive result, access treatment.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to avoid those kind of late diagnosis situations as well.
Yeah.
So it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. It is. So thank you both so much for coming on. It's been great to get all this information and hear about what you're doing. Just to finish with, can I ask you where people can find you, find the project, so if you just give us any links and things you have, that would be great.
Sure, absolutely. So I'll send them all to you again, Stephen, but if people wanted to look for us on Facebook, it's sort of facebook.com/eyesopenuk. On Twitter, we're eyesopenHIV. And on Instagram, we're eyesopenuk. And people can find Mesmac and Shine by just kind of Googling us. And just to add, I think it's really important for people to hear how you found us, you know, and that was just me sending some tweets about a campaign I was doing on Saturday, you know. It just shows the power, doesn't it?
It does. It shows social media, you know, although
good.
It can do a lot of good as well. Yeah. So thank you both, Jill and Mark, coming on. And it's been great to hear about what you're doing. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. It's great to meet you, Stephen. I'll see you again.
Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. I'm with Gary Parchester now, who is the founder and service manager of an amazing charity in Brighton, here in Brighton, Lunch Positive. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Josh. How are you doing?
Was that right? Did I get the role right?
You got it absolutely right, and you pronounced my name correctly. Oh, well done. Yeah.
Fabulous. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Yeah, all going well.
Great. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Could you, because we have quite a few listeners from around the world now, so could you explain what Lunch Positive is?
Okay, so Lunch Positive is a HIV charity here in Brighton. And we provide a range of support and services. Our core service, I suppose, is based around a weekly community lunch for people with HIV.
Yeah.
We call that a lunch club. And people kind of drop in and come along, you know, without appointment, just to gather and be sociable and share a meal, find peer support, and all that comes with being together with a group of peers, really. So that's the kind of the core of our work. But we also undertake a range of other support and services as well, all for people in Brighton and Hove and surrounding areas. So we spread out a little bit further to the areas of East and West Sussex as well.
Right, which is amazing, isn't it? And how's that been then over the last couple of years, especially with COVID, obviously the lockdown?
Yeah, so I mean, we haven't stopped really because of COVID. In fact, as soon as COVID hit us at the beginning of last year, you know, we had to pause our group gatherings because that was no longer allowed. And so instead, we scaled up and adapted our services to provide a COVID response. So over the 18 months, you know, the key 18 months of COVID, we were delivering food to people at home.
Right.
And we were having lots of referrals from nurses, clinics, and the community hubs that kind of set up over the course of the year. So it was a huge food response. And I think at the end of the 18 months, we had prepared and delivered around 35,000 meals. Wow. To people in the locality.
Yeah.
And we also stayed in touch with people in other ways as well. So we started what we call companion calls, which is weekly phone calls to people who might be particularly lonely or vulnerable at home, We did that throughout the whole 18 months of COVID, and we're continuing to do that now as well.
I was going
to
ask that. Yeah.
And some other outreach. You know, we gave people practical support. For example, some people were stranded without support with moving home and settling into new homes. So because we had vehicles, we helped people move at short notice from temporary accommodation into permanent accommodation. And also there was, we operated a winter support program, helping people with heating, equipment, a small fund to help people who are in crisis. So we adapted our services and helped in a whole lot of new ways. And those pieces of work actually continue now. Right. Because the need hasn't really disappeared, you know, it's come and gone in waves over the period of COVID, but it still remains now as we come through COVID.
I suppose with COVID, it made people aware of how some people can be quite lonely and need that support, and so that's an amazing thing, isn't it, to carry that on?
No, absolutely, yeah, and we importantly, I think, you know, we met lots of new people with HIV who were kind of looking for support, and also people who are looking to be involved as well. And we're still meeting new people coming along now. You know, now we've opened our doors again for group gatherings. So definitely kind of isolation, loneliness, you know, whilst it's a very busy and vibrant city, you know, you can still feel very alone in the middle of that. We're here for anybody that just kind of wants to be around other people with HIV, really.
And also you've got a collaboration with the Worthing Hub in West Sussex, haven't you?
Yeah, that's really enjoyable. So the community group, the Worthing Hub in West Sussex, we've... Throughout COVID, we were helping them by providing food for them to deliver to their members or their service users. But we also help them with community meals. So 3 or 4 times a year, we'll stage a community meal with them, bring together their people and people from a little bit further afield, just to give them another social opportunity, really.
Yeah. And Eastbourne as well. Sorry, Eastbourne as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Eastbourne, yeah. So that's a project that we started ourselves. Again, we started it just before COVID, and it was just starting to establish then, and then we had to pause it. And we call it a social group. It's an HIV social group in Eastbourne, first Saturday of every month. And it brings together people who live in the East Sussex area, where there are very, very few HIV services. In fact, almost none, really, these days. And they it's a space for people to come together, share a meal, make friends, meet other people. And that's growing quite nicely. Around 15 to 20 people come on a regular basis. Yeah. And most months now, new people are coming along as well. And it's a really nice group and a really enjoyable thing to be part of.
Yeah, great. And so, Gary, what inspires you to do these things and do all the things you're doing, which is an amazing accomplishment, actually, isn't it?
Thank you. Well, I mean, firstly, I suppose I've been doing them for a very long time. So it's almost 30 years that I've been involved in this kind of work now. So, you know, the inspiration comes from this being very central to who I am, and, you know, who I am as an individual, and you know, all of the benefits I derive from being involved in something, really. But particularly what inspires me is the fact that I'm doing it with the same community that I'm part of. So, you know, meeting other people with HIV, sharing common experiences, and some experiences that we don't have in common, but also kind of learning from people through conversations. It's all about people, really.
Yeah.
And that's invigorating, meeting new people and also seeing people once they've come along, initially sometimes being lonely, maybe being with a low mood and not knowing many people, having many friends, seeing them develop over time, really, and become happier, you know, in their lives and more fulfilled. That's inspirational.
Yeah, absolutely. World AIDS Day is coming up. Yeah. What are your plans? Have you things are happening already, getting busier?
So World AIDS Day, obviously important to us all.
Yes. And
we always do some additional events over World AIDS Day. So we're holding a community lunch on the Sunday before World AIDS Day here at our base in Brighton. And we're inviting anybody that wants to come along, really, just to share some social time with us, LGBTQ communities, people with HIV, friends and allies, to come along and spend some time together. That's on the 28th of November.
Yeah.
World AIDS Day itself, which is a Wednesday this year, we're opening for some refreshments in the afternoon before the vigil and the reading of the names that happens in Brighton. And I'm privileged this year to also be the community speaker at the actual vigil itself.
Right.
So at the moment, I'm busy writing my speech for that.
Ah, yes.
I won't give all the secrets away, other than to say it's very much going to be focused on community and people with HIV being empowered and people with HIV being part of the solutions, you know, for any issues that they have for themselves, really. So.
And it'd be nice because we're getting together, aren't we? So it's going to be at the Steen Gardens, isn't it, this time? A live event.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. So last year, of course, it wasn't because of COVID. And this year, it's going to be a group event again at New Steen Gardens. And I think that starts at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And following that, there's a concert that's again, is happening for the first time since before COVID, the World AIDS Day concert, which is a fundraiser for Lunch Positive. So that's really important to us as well. It's the first World AIDS Day fundraiser we've had for 2 years now. So that's going to be a big event as well.
Can you just let our listeners know how to contact you if they're interested in coming to Lunch Positive or any of your services? You've got the befriending service, haven't you, and the Over 50s Club as well, haven't you?
So sure.
How can people get involved and volunteering as well?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, there really are a very wide range of services, some of which we've only kind of really skimmed on, really. The website holds a lot of information. Okay. It kind of, if anybody wants to have a look at that, look at lunchpositive.org. And that will give an overview of all the support we provide and all the things we do. There's a contact form on there as well if people want to get in touch.
Okay.
Our telephone number's on there, or just email info@lunchpositive.org. Always interested in people who want to volunteer.
Yeah.
It's great when people with HIV volunteer to support our work, but we're also equally interested to anybody else who's a friend or a supporter or an ally who would like to get involved as well.
Yeah.
And the roles are really varied, so we kind of have a commitment to finding a role to suit anybody.
Great, and one last question actually. Yeah. What do you see about the future then for Lunch Positive? How's that going to go?
So the future for Lunch Positive, I think really will be continuing the work we're doing now and developing as needs evolve, really. I mean, the one thing about being an organisation that's led by and delivered by people with HIV is that, you know, every time that we provide a service or an activity, we're talking with our own community. So we learn as we provide, really. So definitely our mission is going to continue to bring people together to relieve social isolation and loneliness. Probably some more work around peer support.
Okay.
And always addressing financial and social disadvantage. So the services we've got at the moment, you know, we're still in a kind of recovery and restart post-COVID, really, and we'll continue with those. And I'm sure that they'll develop, hopefully, with a wider reach. And any new work that comes our way through people with HIV themselves.
Thank you very much. So lunch is tomorrow, just to remind our listeners, Friday at 1 p.m.
Yep, lunch is tomorrow, Friday. Doors open at midday, and people can come along from any time from midday. We have a coffee lounge, and people can just come along and spend some social time together. And yeah, food served from 1 o'clock.
Great, thank you. And I want to thank you from all our listeners as well who use the service. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been really, really great to talk.
Hi.
Thank you.
I'm Donald and I volunteer at Lunch Positive. I enjoy coming along every Friday. I do lots of different things. I begin by making up bags for those that have to be delivered to people out with the community. And then I come upstairs and I help with the lunch service and with the lunch, setting up the table, and then at the end of the day, clearing up again.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. But you enjoy it and you get something out of it, do you, Donald?
I do very much so. I mean, since I've come here, I have met a lot of different people that I probably would have never met otherwise. I also, you know, the company, but also just sort of general camaraderie of being around people and doing something that making it feel as if you're doing something for the good of the community.
Yeah, okay. I like to come to Lunch Positive because it's a safe place. I can talk about anything and with anyone, and I can take my medication freely and also make friends, see other people for company. And the food is very nice, and everyone around is nice. Or if you need any information about anything, really, like benefits, or dentist and all other things to do with health, you can always find, there's a lot of people, they can always signpost you. So
how long have you been coming to Lunch Positive?
I've been coming for over 10 years. I used to come when it was the Open Door over on, where it was in one of the houses on one of the streets, So, yeah, a long time now. The fact that there's a home-cooked meal every Friday, a chance also to meet other guys, other people that come here. Yeah, so it's a really nice, look forward to it on a Friday.
Listen. 97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com, DAB+. So we're on to the roundup, aren't we? Let's show you. Have you been looking at some great stories this week, you two?
Yeah. Around the world? Shall I kick off?
Too. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're always going on, and quite rightly so. You know, what countries they're still out there, believe it or not, that if you're HIV positive, you can't enter. And I know we've spoken about that on the show in previous shows. Well, apparently UniAIDS welcomes New Zealand's decision to lift the travel restrictions for people living with HIV. Now, the UniAIDS executive director, Winnie Manuana, which we've pleasantly met a few weeks ago in Brighton, she says that's really great news, and she goes on to say, you know, there's no evidence that restrictions on entry or stay or residence of people with HIV protect, you know, public health. So, you know, so that's New Zealand off that list. And if we just quickly go back over a couple of countries that are still on that list, where if you're HIV positive, you can't travel to or what have you. And we've got the Russian Federation, and that's quite a lot of countries within Russia, okay?
Yeah,
we've got Saudi Arabia and Malaysia, and that's just three I pointed out. But, and there's many more. So New Zealand, thank you. Thank you very much. If I decide to go one day, I've got a choice. It gives us choices. So I just thought that was a bit of uplift and tick the box, bit of positivity. And that's my little bit for this week.
Lovely. Well, we did it. We did. You and Stephen and Tony did an article about that, didn't they? A news thing a few weeks ago. About restrictions.
Yeah, we did, so. yeah, because we were looking at Canada, because they still had that rule in place. So it's great to hear that has changed.
Yeah.
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, New Zealand.
Shall I go next? Mm. Mine's from Russia. So supporting organisations and initiative groups for people living with HIV in Russia conducted a survey on the internet to study the HIV situation in Russia. So stigmatisation of people with HIV is still one of the main problems in the diagnosis and early start of HIV treatment in Russia. The study will help to study the problems and difficulties in access to HIV testing and treatment. The questionnaire is organised in such a way that it can be passed by both HIV positive and negative people, those who know their status or not. Depending on their answers, the system will choose the right questions for them. So the survey is also aimed at knowing people's awareness of HIV infection and how much they trust the HIV health system. In addition, it is important to study the level of HIV, now I get this right, disidentism.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what that means? Disidentism?
I think so.
In society, and find potential measures to combat the harmful ideology of disease denial. An important part of the study is the study of the psychological state and social exclusion of HIV-positive people. The questionnaire is anonymous, and all information provided by respondents will be protected and confidential. The results of the study will be published and will help the AIDS Centre and non-profit organisations work according to their wishes. So it's great to have that, isn't it, really, I think?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's good to get people's views and know that people are listening to them.
Exactly. Well.
Yep, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you, Stephen?
So for me, I'm actually doing a story from here in the UK.
Whoa!
And yeah, but I felt it was a really interesting one and important one, because it's going to be accessible for people either on YouTube or by podcast. And it's a new podcast that's called Tell Me About It, and it's HIV Conversations in the Community. It's a six-part podcast, And it's a series of honest conversations sharing accurate and trustworthy information about HIV and sexual reproductive health in a friendly and open way. Now, it's funded by Public Health England, and it's through the Reproductive Health, Sexual Health and HIV Innovation Fund, which supports new ways of improving and just dealing with sexual health and HIV. So tell me about it. It was inspired by the conversations of people living with HIV, and they often find themselves unaware of the many new and life-changing developments in HIV prevention and treatment. And some of the questions like, how did you get it? Are you a drain on the NHS? Can I catch it off you? Will you die young? Are some of the questions that are answered in this podcast. HIV still remains one of the most stigmatized of all medical conditions. These everyday conditions can be an opportunity to educate, given the three, that there are simple, that there are significant gaps between public perceptions and lived experiences of those living with HIV. It's hosted by writer, researcher, and international performance poet and TED speaker, Bakita Kashida, and each episode is a conversation between people sharing experiences of living with HIV or opening up their assumptions and what we'd love to know more about. So that's available in a podcast from all from all podcast suppliers, and it's also available on YouTube. So it can be anybody across all our people that we have all over the world could log on and find out the Tell Me About It podcast.
Great.
Wow, really interesting, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, I think I might, the link to that, my story in Russia, I think I'll find the link to the survey just in case somebody from Russia wants to do it. And I'll put that on the podcast in the description. So,
sure.
So that's good, great stuff.
Good.
So this week, you're going to this, aren't you, Stephen? There's going to be a rally. Is it a rally? Like an HIV campaign, isn't there, in London this weekend?
It is. So it's 40 years, obviously, since the first, since HIV and AIDS appeared in our lives and our world. And it's this is a march, a rally, a reminder, just so that the government are aware that we're still here and we're still fighting for so many things, that just give us the rights. And as Sue said about different countries, so I'm going to be going along to that on Saturday. It's on Saturday meeting here in London in town. And we are going to be just making a bit of noise and just saying that we are still here.
I'm just thinking one of the slogans is respect my HIV, isn't it? So basically it's getting people to respect HIV, and that means don't forget about us. We need the funding, and it's really a call on everybody, not just government, everybody. I can't remember that there's never been another stand, but I can't remember there being another get together protest, march, whatever. I can't remember there's been one. Am I right, guys?
I can't actually. No.
I can't think of one either. So no. I think
maybe the early days. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to go, that I'm just saying that it's on the 30th of October, isn't it? And they assemble at 2:15 at Parliament Square.
Yeah.
And you go from Parliament Square to Trafalgar Square via Whitehall, and then there's later on there's demonstration speeches by celebrities, politicians, and activists, and that's in Trafalgar Square. So
brilliant. Sounds like
brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, what a great show.
What a great show, as usual. It's the thing is, guys, it's what our listeners have come to expect. I mean, you know, how challenging that is. You know, we put on such good, great shows and material and interviews that we always try and make it better, don't we, Stephen? Let's see if we can do that better. But we challenge ourselves, don't we?
We do, definitely.
But if you want to, contribute to the show, you can always email us on hivhour@gmail.com. So, and we've got Twitter, @hiv_hour. So you can contact us there as well. Great to see you both and hear you both.
Yes.
Hope everyone has a good weekend.
Brilliant. See you all next week, guys. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.